The Senate will be in order. The prayer today will be offered by myself. Following the prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance will be offered by myself. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, and please be with our farmers as they're in the field to plant the crops. Be with all of our fellow senators and their families at this time of a little bit of break. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for all the mothers. And hopefully there was great Mother's Day celebrations yesterday. And please be with our leadership and the governor, and be able to negotiate an exit from our session. And in Jesus' name, amen. Are there any corrections to the journal? Hearing none, the journal is approved as printed. Are there senators to be excused? Are there any senators seeking the floor for any personal points, announcements, or introductions? For what purpose does the senator from Polk, Senator Bolton, seek the floor?
Mr. President, am I in order for a point this morning?
You are in order.
Thank you, Mr. President. I can tell by the number of senators we have in the room that we may not be close to ending our session at this point. So I want to take an opportunity while we are still in session to acknowledge some work that still is ahead of us. But first, I wanted to say a special word of thanks to workers that are on strike in eastern Iowa. We have Teamsters and UAW members who are on strike for fair wages and benefits. We talk a lot about some of the situations going on in our economy. We hear a lot from the majority party about inflation. We don't hear as much about the other side of that, where we see record profits by companies who are not sharing in that wealth by those who create it, the persons who put in the labor day in and day out that drive the economic successes, that are leading to record profits, that are leading our economy, not seeing increases in wages, increases in benefits, more secure retirements to benefit and share in that economic growth. So I want to thank those workers who are making a very difficult choice in their lives today to stand on a picket line, to stand up for themselves and the greater economy as a whole for working Iowans. And I wish them all the best as they stand up, make this tough decision, but do fight for fair wages that reflect the honor and dignity of their work, taking a brave stand for themselves, their families, and workers across our state. We also have to acknowledge that last week we had some shockwaves sent across our nation as a Supreme Court leaked opinion that had been drafted was made public. And in that opinion, it was quite obvious that the intent of the court at this time was to likely eliminate the protections of Roe versus Wade, constitutional principles in that decision that have stood since 1973, protecting not only the right to an abortion, but securing and emphasizing that there is a right to privacy guaranteed in our Constitution, that the rights of equal protection under law apply to men and women making important decisions that only they should be trusted to make in such a meaningful, impactful way. As we look at what that decision can mean, we can also be thankful that our Iowa Supreme Court has continued to lead the way in constitutional protections. Since In re Ralph, our Iowa courts have always stood at the forefront of making sure that Iowa took the lead in protecting civil rights, in protecting civil liberties, in protecting constitutional principles. We didn't wait for other courts to lead. We took the lead. And that tradition has led us to have one of the most impressive sets of case precedents and common law decisions that have led Iowans to know that their liberties are prized, that their rights are maintained in our courts. Equal protection due process, privacy. All of these rights are going to be considered by our state and federal courts in the very near future, and not in insignificant ways. And this Senate is going to have an important impact on that. We have, in the last few years, seen our Iowa principles in terms of judicial selection and nominations steadily eroded towards partisan politics. Iowa has been a model in the nation for judicial appointments. We have led and shown the way to making sure we get the most qualified judge. Not the most liberal, not the most conservative, not the most partisan, the best judge to take a seat on our courts and evaluate people's rights and do justice from the bench. We've always celebrated that, but unfortunately, in the last few years, we've gone a different way. The majority party has pushed through legislation that has led us to a point where partisan balance has been stripped away from our judicial nominating system. We now have card-carrying Republicans being the standard rather than the best evaluator of judges to take seats on our judicial nominating commission. And the results have been obvious. We're no longer insulated from partisan politics in our courts. Instead of getting the best judges, we have litmus tests. We have judges being evaluated on political appointments. It's a shameful power play by the Republican Party in this state, and the majority party has to acknowledge it, as this Senate will take up nominees for the Judicial Nominating Commission before our work is done here. Packing the court with Republican Party members is not good for the state. And it shouldn't be good for the state to pack the court with Democratic Party members. We should be looking for the best jurists to evaluate our rights, to stand up for our liberties. I'm talking about the idea of who's in the room where it happens. The musical Hamilton has a part that talks about being in the room where it happens. Our Judicial Nominating Commission individuals are in the room where it happens. They will be deciding who will be the next Supreme Court justices, who will be the next district court justices. And the people in the room where it happens should be Iowans, should be people who respect and honor our judicial traditions, who respect and honor the value of having fair, independent courts. We want the best people in the room where it happens, not the best partisan politicians. That's a heavy burden for this Senate to take on, but we have to do it. When we start talking about the decisions that are going to come down in the next few months and years, we're talking about people's very civil rights, civil liberties being at stake. We have a House, we have a Senate, we have a governor's office that are partisan. Let's step away from that role in our courts, and let's make sure we have the best jurists available who do the best job evaluating our rights and keep as insulated as politics from possible, as possible. Let's not shrink away from this responsibility. Let's embrace it. Let's do our part to make sure our courts do the one thing they ought to be doing, justice. Thank you.
Chair now recognizes the Senator from Dallas, Senator Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Brief point.
You're in order for a point.
I'd actually like to ask the Senator from Polk to yield for a quick question.
Senator Bolton, would you yield?
Yes, I would.
You're in order.
Thank you. So we just heard you talk about the courts. I'm curious. Bernie Sanders at the federal level has called for the packing of the United States Supreme Court, adding justices. Do you think that's a good idea for at the federal level to change the number of justices, as Bernie Sanders has indicated?
Well, Senator, I will take you back to my comments just now. When I'm talking about the Iowa system, we can compare it to that federal system that is badly broken. And I will point to two nominations to the United States Supreme Court that evidence that. Pushing through a nominee at the end of a president's term versus refusing to consider a nominee at the end of a president's term. The only difference was the partisan politics behind whether it was a Democrat or Republican making that appointment. So that system does need to be fixed. We need to do some things to back off that position of outright partisan politics and who gets appointed and considered and approved for the United States Supreme Court. And that's exactly the point that I am raising here with my warning today, is that once we go down that path, it becomes very hard to walk it back. And we're taking steps in Iowa right now that will make it harder for us to dial it back and go back to a system where we simply wanted the best jurist on the bench. That's what we need.
Thank you, Senator Bolton. Mr. President, what we just heard was a non-answer. We didn't hear actually your position on whether or not at the federal level the courts should be packed. Here in Iowa, we have a fair process. We have made it better because we have allowed Iowans to have more input in that process. The nomination reform that we did in this chamber is something that I think we should all be proud of. You know, when you have attorneys who are super citizens that get to make the determination as to who the justices, the nominees will be, that is problematic. And then the media will often say, well, this is a Branstad-appointed judge. But what they don't say, what they don't finish, is the fact that the governor had the option to choose from three individuals. And so sometimes we have a commission who was being packed by the bar to choose liberal judges. Judges who believe that the Constitution is ever evolving. Senator Bolton, you talked about this issue of life. The dissenting opinion pointed out, when our Supreme Court found a constitutional right under Iowa's Constitution, Justice Katie, at that time pointed out that this is a right that has been in our Constitution and we need to have an ever-evolving view of our Constitution. I believe that our judges are to look at the text of the Constitution. And in fact, the dissenting opinion went on to say that 6 months after that, those provisions, Article 1, Section 4, and I believe Section 7, that Justice Katie relied on, the same people who introduced that language in our Constitution, 6 months later, passed a law banning almost all abortion, except for in the case of rape and incest, and was punishable by imprisonment. So it is unconscionable to think that our founders here in Iowa believe there is a constitutional right to an abortion. And so I appreciate what the senator is saying and his concern, but I think it's unfounded. I think it's unfounded. We have a process where Iowans have input, where we have a nominating commission that puts forward people, and the governor gets to ultimately decide who one of those three will be. But I think it's a little disingenuous of my esteemed colleague to suggest that we have such a horrible system here in Iowa when we hear from the Democrat Party at the federal level who doesn't like a decision that may be coming down, that now we need to change the court, that we need to add more justices to the court because they hold the power right now. That will change. We will see that change in November. The pendulum always swings, right? We can agree on that, Senator Bolton. So the notion that somehow Iowa's process is not working, I think I just could not disagree more, and I couldn't allow that to go unchecked. So thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Bolton.
Seeing no other discussion, the chair recognizes the senator from Dallas, Senator Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate adjourn until Thursday, May 12th at 9 a.m.
You have heard the motion from the senator from Dallas, Senator Chapman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'll say no. The motion prevails. The Senate will be adjourned until Thursday, May 12th at 9 a.m.